You're with Rochelle Hunt on ABC Radio Melbourne.
And a huge welcome for the very first time this year, I think, Miss Dani Valent.
So good to be here.
Oh, how are you?
I am excellent.
I sound like I just stalk people online, but I saw that you've been a busy woman and you've been making some wine glasses, small wine glasses.
I have to just stress that there was only one wine glass that I made, but I am so proud of the wonky little glass that I constructed yesterday. I was lucky enough to go to a glassmaker's studio in Castlemaine and, made a wine glass under this very strict supervision and instruction of Kaz, the glass blower.
It looked quite small, like a little sherry glass.
I'm going to get wine in it. Don't you worry about that. But it's quite small and it's quite wonky, but it will hold liquid and it will stand up. So I've never done any work with glass before, but I made a little commitment to myself this year to do a bit more with my hands.
Oh.
And I never imagined I would have the opportunity to do this, but it just, crossed my path and I leapt at it. It was so fun.
So things with your hands other than cooking.
Yeah, other than cooking, writing and tapping my Mikey, I thought I'd do a few more things, like a bit of drawing maybe something with clay. I don't know.
Let's see where the path takes me. See what's happened. Hey, in just a moment we'll talk to you about some great initiatives, a restaurant in Bendigo that's taking food from just the general public, which I love, and also about a community that in an alleyway is sharing food.
Yeah.
But right at the top of the program, we've been talking about weight concerns for teenagers and a new program that's set at Westmead, Sydney, at the hospital there, as well as the Monash Children's Hospital here. And it's looking at calorie controlled diets. And there's been some kind of conjecture around whether or not this is a good thing. So I've been asking whether or not teenagers should diet at all. We're of very similar vintage. I may be a smidge older than you, but as a young teenager, did you ever diet, or did an older person ever say to you, I think, we need to, what was the saying that they were saying? I think we need to do something about your weight.
No. Look, my mum dieted and went to Weight Watchers and all that. And, looking back, I don't think, there was ever any sort of crisis, but I think it was just that culture. I remember there was when I was at primary school, there was those book clubs, like you get the leaflets and you tick the books that you want. I remember as an 11 or 12 year old, I got a book that was aimed at my age group about, calorie controlled diets. And I remember counting calories when I was still in primary school. And if I look back and think about, the shape that I was fine. There was no crisis going on. And I think, I listened as I was coming in to the conversations you had, and I think I was pretty lucky, almost like I dodged a bullet, because now I feel like, some people might say I've got an eating disorder of being obsessed with food and thinking about it all the time, but I feel like I've got a pretty healthy relationship with food. I enjoy it. My diet's pretty balanced. I definitely indulge, but I feel like that's part of the balance that I try to strike.
Did you ever have scales in your household?
Yeah, we had scales. Yeah, I don't have scales at home now.
No, neither do I.
I've got two teenage daughters, so it's definitely something that you think about. Body image is definitely a topic.
Do they come to you about it? Or can you read between the lines? When all of a sudden you watch a teenager eat and you see what they push to the side or what they order and you see a change in any way?
Yeah.
Have you ever sort of noticed anything?
Oh, look, it's a topic and it's a tricky one. I think, our messaging at home is all around healthy lifestyles, healthy eating. I really don't really use, the diet word, except in the context of a healthy diet and about, being active and healthy. It's never about weight loss and but it's tricky. Kids are looking at themselves and comparing themselves, and you'd listen to the anguish in the some of those the people that were calling in.
Oh,
and
no.
It's so fraught, and
I don't know how much it's. I think we are more aware of our diets, absolutely, but then yet as a nation we are more overweight. So there's this weird kind of, how does that happen? How are we more aware, more educated? But at the same time, there's more people overweight than we've previously ever had.
It's such a big topic.
And then what do you do?
And the experts can't agree about everything.
No.
So you just think for the general citizen, what do you do except come back to those, really basic messages about eating a balanced diet, not too much of any one thing. And it just, but for some people that's just It's not as simple as it sounds. And people are just in, you know, in such difficult, tricky, very personal situations. And it's there's a lot of anguish in that space. Yeah. And you just hope your own kids will never enter it.
Well, after 3 o'clock, we'll speak to one of the people involved in that particular trial at Westmead Hospital in Sydney. We'll get to the bottom of exactly what the trial involves, what they're trying to achieve, who's a part of it, and, you know, how much research has been done into the calorie restrictions that they're going to impose and what they think that will happen, and also how they have reacted to many of the eating disorder organisations that have put their hand up and said that we don't agree with this. 10 minutes away from 3, Danny Valente is with you. Now, I'm a big fan of Bendigo. I spend a lot of time there, have a lot of relatives.
Oh, it's such a in-laws. Great town.
Oh, well, I would call it a little city.
Yeah.
Now, it's thriving and bustling. But there's a restaurant that, how does it work in where they've said, okay, you've got tomatoes or you've got lemons?
So, yeah.
Bring them on in.
It's this great restaurant, Masons of Bendigo, which, you know, is a fine dining hub in the city of Bendigo. And Sonia, who's one of the owners of the restaurant, is a real mover and shaker in the local food scene. And recently they put out a call to locals who've got an excess of produce, because this sort of end of summertime, you know, if you've got a thriving garden, you're going to have, you know, you might have too many zucchinis and you know what to do with, or you might, you know, have, I don't know what it is, passion fruit running rampant, figs just going crazy, whatever it is. And sometimes it's just too many to deal with. So she's put a little bit of a solution to that problem, which is that they can bring produce to the restaurant and they'll use it. Now, I will say they did have a little bit of pushback on this initially, where some restaurant customers were saying, well, how do we know that that produce is cool? You know, was it grown with grey water, that sort of thing? So they do have a certain verification process to ensure the sort of the food safety aspect.
And if I come along because I've got a heap of zucchinis left over, do I get a little, what do I get?
Oh, so they sort you out in a variety of ways.
Food.
You can have a voucher to put towards dining
so
in
like
the restaurant.
Bartering
it's
kind
barter,
of
or they'll put the price toward the, I think that you can also ask for cash, but I think they'll also put the proceeds towards a local food rescue organisation to, you know, look after people who are doing it tough. So
have you ever heard of anything like this being done before?
Look, you know what? A lot of restaurants, especially in the country, will have an informal, you know, let's say you come to the back door with, you know, whatever you've got, whether it's some rabbits or some lemons or, you know, whatever. So there is that definitely happens more in the country than in the city. But even in the city, it does happen. So, yeah, I have heard of it. I think, you know, I haven't heard of this sort of general call out, like, you know, bring it all and see what, you know. But I think it's fantastic. Mm. And this is one restaurant that is so connected to the local and the seasonal. It just makes absolute sense.
Now, there is a Food is Free lane. Way. This sounds like a good laneway to hang out in.
This is the Ballarat one.
Yes.
Yeah,
so they don't know what's going on in the regionals, do they?
Yeah, look, I think this is awesome. I had a little wander around the laneways of my neighbourhood in the inner south last Friday with the dog, and I can really understand this concept, because in my local laneways I found passion fruit. I munched on a fig. I found a laden quince tree that I've been invited to go back to in a month when they're ripe. So there's a lot of food growing in the laneways in Victoria. So in this laneway in Ballarat, people are encouraged to bring their garden produce, leave it there, and take what they need from what other people have left behind.
So again, it's like a bartering system. I'll bring some mint or whatever it may be, some herbs. Grab some lemons. I'm a bit obsessed with lemons. I know I always refer to lemons.
I love lemons too. They're also a very good laneway fruit. Laneway lemons are the best.
This is some kind of axis point in my life that everything manages to revolve around lemons.
It could be worse, Rich.
It could be. It's a great. So how long has it been running and how big? I mean,
I don't know. Like, one of my friends on Facebook mentioned it to me, and she talked about it, and it just sounds amazing.
And I wonder whether the council, because sometimes the council can kind of be like, well, you know, there might be some.
I think the
occupational
local
health
council,
and safety issues, or rotting food, or rodents, or whatever it may be.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the rules around it, but I know that the council in Ballarat has also encouraged people to turn their nature strips into veggie gardens. So I think there's a little bit of support for that kind of thing around those parts, which is fantastic.
Danny Valente is with you, writer, eat, cook, a regular here on Afternoons. 5 minutes away from 3. You mentioned zucchinis before. If we have an excess of zucchinis, I have this wonderful image of my pa. He had the best veggie garden, but his zucchinis, he would always let grow out and blow out to the point where they were the size of small animals. You know,
yeah,
they were huge.
I know. They're so, yeah, they get massive.
And they would actually become a bit woody and weird. But anyhow, it was wonderful because he'd be like, check this one out. He'd made the front of the local paper, I think,
yeah,
a few times.
I love it.
But excess zucchinis, many people have them. Other than making the old zucchini, you know, frittata or the zucchini slice, if we have excess, can you freeze them? Can you cook them? What can we do?
Yeah, there is so much you can do with them. But I will quickly mention on this topic of zucchinis growing very quickly, local food writer Richard Cornish tells this great story about a guy who was sitting on a back porch looking out at the veggie garden, and while he was looking, a zucchini pushed over a tricycle. So they do grow. You got to keep an eye on those suckers. So yes, you can make endless zucchini slices. You can sneak grated zucchini into any sort of cake. A chocolate cake with a bit of zucchini has got extra nourishment and no one will know the difference.
There's a text here that says, zucchinis, the European carp of the garden, says my dad.
Yeah, that's a great one. I love it. But you can freeze them, and I think, you know, you might think of pickling or relish, you know, those are the
zucchini relish.
You
it's
love it.
Good. Yeah. Any relish.
Any relish is great.
Any relish is good.
A little bit of tart, a little bit of sweet. But I did hear about someone who's found a new use for zucchinis, which is freezing them and then popping it in smoothies.
Oh, yeah, because it wouldn't have any taste and you sneak in some greens for the kids.
Exactly. Kids don't know. Also putting them in pet food. So that's a use, but I mean, a simple pickle recipe will get you a long way with any sort of excess veggies.
Hey, can I ask you, and this has got nothing to do with zucchinis now, this is talking chilies, another
passion
of both of ours, I know. So Miss Jacinta Parsons, who we'd know from our breakfast program, yep, has got her hands on some fresh chilies, and she said to me today, Rish, I'm going home to make some chili oil. And
oh,
I was like, oh,
yum.
Do you know how to do that? She's like, no, but I'll figure it out. And so between us, we sort of went, oh, I think you've got to roast the chilies and then you
can.
So how should she be doing it if she's listening right now?
Well, Jacinta, you had your hands on some chilies. I hope you didn't then rub your eyes. That I hope you've made a beautiful chili oil. You can roast it. I mean, when you're roasting veggies and then, you know, doing other things with them, you will bring out extra flavour, but you don't have to.
Oh, you can just put a fresh chili in.
You can put a fresh chili in. It'd be nice to warm the oil up. You don't want to boil it, but get it to around, you know, 60 degrees will really bring the flavour out of those chilies.
So do you want to see it, if you don't have a little thermometer thing, do you want to actually see it just bubble at the bottom or something?
Just see it start to shimmer.
Okay.
It'd probably be a decent way to think about it. And then you just, I mean, chop up the chilies because you'll just get more flavour out of them. Take out the seeds if you don't want it too spicy. You can put in other flavours if you want. You can put a bit of salt in. You can put a bit of lemon rind, some other spices, depending on how hot your chilies are. And, yeah, then just use the oil.
And then how long does that oil last? Does it have an expiration?
No, it will, I mean, yeah, that oil is your friend for a long time, for years.
Okay, JP, I expect a bottle of chili oil, by the way. Thank you very much. Danny, you could use the blown out zucchinis to make a great big slice for a vegetarian lasagna. Use zucchini slice instead of pasta, says Barbie in Williamstown.
Yeah, love that.
And zoodles. Low-carb pasta.
True. I mean, if you've got a zoodler, then you can, yeah, there's a lot of people loving the zucchini noodles and, yeah, they're fantastic.
Never tried it. I've always kind of, I'm sort of, meh.
Yeah, look, it's
if I want pasta, I'm going to have pasta.
Look, I'm definitely a little bit in your boat, but I do see a place for it. And if you're trying to, you know, lower your intake of all those bits and pieces, then for sure, like go for the zoodles. Look, they're really tasty, especially if you've got these monster zucchinis that you need to use.
Yeah. Ladies, we had a swap stall at Bendigo Farmers Market for ages. It's great. Excess fruit, veggies all get swapped. That's from Cheryl. What are you making tonight for dinner, Danny?
I'm
I'll be there about 6:30.
Okay, well, yeah, I will have dinner on the table about 6:30. I'm actually going out for Japanese.
Oh, yum.
I won't say why because I am reviewing for the Sunday Age.
Okay. That's probably one of my favourite cuisines, Japanese.
Definitely, same Love for me. It. But I'm making schnitzel for the kids and some roast veggies.
Do you double crumb?
I'm going to double crumb.
Mm.
Yeah.
What's the protein?
Chicken.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good too. These are all winning. Hey, it's been lovely to see you.
Great to see you too.
You can jump onto Danny's website. You can get some of her recipes, find out some of the shenanigans that she's up to, DannyValente.com. Writer, eater and cook.